Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Amina Campbell Jackson, and this is the Charity Church Complex live broadcast. Also, the Campbell Ministries broadcast. So wherever you're listening from, thank you for your participation. Please invite someone and share this message. I'm happy to say that today we have a live audience, and we thank God for each of them in their respective places. We're going to give it just a moment and we'll get started. In your preparation today, we're coming from Joshua, the second chapter. Again, that's Joshua, the second chapter. We are listening to Shekinah Glory, and the song is simply called Jesus. Although we don't own the rights to the music, we do own the rights to our relationship with Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our healer, and our deliverer. So thankful for all that He has done, and thankful for all that He is getting ready to do. We give glory and honor to God on today just for who He is. We don't treat Him like Santa Claus and call on Him when we need something. But when you truly have a relationship with Him, you begin to recognize that every little thing is a blessing. The breath that you breathe, every time you blink your eyelids, every time you wake up and your feet are able to hit the floor, we know that it's all because of Him. We know that we wouldn't even be here today had it not been for our Lord and Savior going to that hill of Golgotha and hanging on Calvary's cross, laying in the grave, not one day, not 2 days, but getting up on that third day morning with all power in His hand. He didn't just do it because of the will of the Father, but He did it for His love for you and for me. That's why we praise Him. That's why we honor Him. Because everything that He's done for us, He never had to do. He paid a debt that He did not owe, because we owed a debt that we could not pay. And for that, we're simply thankful. As we begin to collect ourselves and get our minds on God, not on things around us, not on our issues, not on our concerns, but just begin to get our minds on Him, the one who gave His life so that you and I might have life. If we just concentrate on Him and who He is, we will recognize He's worthy. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all honor, and He's worthy of all glory. I realize that we all have some things going on, but I need you to know today that if you would get your minds on Him, surrender to His will and His way for your life, that you'll look around and begin to see that everything has already been worked out just for you. All He wants is you. You, spirit, soul, and body, everything that you are and everything that you hope to be is in Him. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we say thank You now, Lord, for Your many blessings. We say thank You, God, for just who You are. We say thank You, God, because You are worthy of all thanks, all honor, all praise, and all glory. Everything that we have and everything that we desire is in Your hands. For every question we have, we know that You have the answer. For every need that we have, we know that you are our provider. For everything that we're going through, God, we thank you now in advance for peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and the spirit of faith. We thank you, God, because you have made us in your image. And because of that, God, we say thank you. We are triune beings just like you are a triune being. We are spirit, soul, and body, just as you are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for your word on today and the opportunity to learn more of you, your will, and your way for our lives. We magnify you, God, and we praise you right now for everyone that is under the sound of my voice. God, I pray right now that you meet every need and fill every void in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you in advance. Now, God, use me for your glory. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer, hearing what it is that the Spirit of the Lord has to say and then delivering it to your people as you desire. Thank you, God, for the move of your Spirit in this place. God, I feel your presence right now. And I thank you for it, God, for reminding me that you're always with me no matter where I go. And no matter what I do, God, thank you for a fresh touch. Thank you, God, for a fresh anointing. Thank you, God, for being our healer. Thank you, God, for being our deliverer. Thank you, God, for making a way where there seems to be no way. Thank you, God, for those that may be in the valley of decision, but they'll know what your desire is for them, God. After you speak. Move by your spirit now, God. Touch right now, God. Rain down your anointing in this place. For wherever every listener is, God, in their spirit and physically, God, you let them know, God, that you're with them. That you walk with them and you talk with them. And that they are still your very own. For every mistake, God, that we may have made, God, we repent right now in the name of Jesus. For everything that we did on purpose, God, that we knew wasn't of you, God, we repent right now in the name of Jesus. For everything, God, that you told us to do and we refused to do it, we repent right now in the name of Jesus. And Satan, we bind you on every hand for every bit of confusion and unforgiveness and hatred and malice and wrath and envy. We stand against you now in the name of Jesus. And we loose the blood of Jesus. We loose peace. We lose joy. We lose laughter and hope in the name of Jesus. It is in Jesus' name that we ask these blessings. And we believe it by faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things that we cannot see. Now faith is manifested in the earth as it is in heaven. Now healing is manifested in the earth as it is in heaven. Now provisions are manifested in the earth as they are in the heavens. Now, God, we need you right now, God. It is in Jesus' name that we ask these blessings and we count them done by faith. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, oh God. Glory, God. We are in Joshua, the second chapter. The book of Joshua, the second chapter. And we're beginning at verse number 8. I won't be before you long. I realize that we've started a little bit behind time. But God knows everything and everything happens for a reason. Joshua 2, beginning at verse number 8. Before the spies, and I'm reading from the Message Bible. Before the spies were down for the night, the woman came up to them on the roof and said, I know that God has given you the land. We are all afraid. Everyone in the country feels hopeless. We heard how God dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you left Egypt, and what he did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you put under a holy curse and destroyed. We heard it and our hearts sank. We all had the wind knocked out of us. And all because of you, you and God, your God, God of the heavens above and God of the earth below. If you drop down to verse number 12, now promise me by God, I showed you mercy. Now show my family mercy. Thank you, Jesus. And give me some tangible proof, a guarantee of life for my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, everyone connected with my family. Glory God. Save our souls from death. Verse 14 said, our lives for yours, said the men. But don't tell anyone our business. When God turns this land over to us, we'll do right by you in loyal mercy. Glory to God. On this afternoon, I want to use for a thought. The enemy is defeated in our hands. The enemy is defeated in our hands. If you are looking for an example of faith, courage, and trust in God, Rahab is an excellent Old Testament example. She was a prostitute and a Canaanite, living in the city of Jericho during the time of Joshua's conquest. As we know, Joshua was called to lead the Israelites after Moses. Joshua was one of the ones who was raised up under Moses. And when Moses' time was up, Joshua became their leader. One of the things about Joshua is that in chapter 1, when he took over, the first thing that Joshua told the people is, y'all can choose to do whatever you want to do. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is a young man who had a made up mind on what it was that he needed to do in order to move forward. And not just to move his own family forward, but he was willing to work with the folks that were willing to work with him. Joshua told the Israelites that they needed to choose whose side that they were on, because there were times when things got rough that the Israelites began to go the other way. There were times when Moses was not visibly in their presence that the Israelites began to worship idol gods. Right. Joshua told them what they needed to do, and still there were times that the Israelites lost their faith. So here it is that Joshua, the leader now of the people of God, had chosen to go with God no matter what. And he said that his household needed to go too, because families need to stick together. Glory to God. Now here we are in chapter 2. Joshua had sent out spies to go and check out the land that God had promised to the Israelites. This is the land of Canaan, and God had already told them that it was flowing with milk and honey. But what most people don't understand is that what belonged to them was already occupied by some folks that had no business there in the land of Canaan. So here it is that he sends the spies to go and check out the place that God had given to them. These folks were there, but they still understood that it belonged to them, and it was given to them by God. Lord have mercy. Help me, Jesus. Amen. So here, when the spies go out, they go to check out the land. And the Bible says that when they got there, that even the fruit was huge. And the people had told the spies, you need to bring back
some proof. And the Bible lets us know in latter chapters that the grapes and the fruit were so big and the land was so plenteous and the soil was so rich. God had set this place up just for them and it had everything that they needed. So when they bought back the fruit just of the grapes, it took two men to carry a few grapes because they were so large. Y'all, when God has a plan for your life, everything that he does is more than enough. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that more abundantly. So they came back with the proof, but what's important to know is when they went to spy out this land, when they went to go and look around the city, they had to be inconspicuous or incognito, if you will, because if they had been seen, the people would have tried to do something to them. So it comes to find out that there were some people there in the land who were already willing to help them. But what they did not expect is that one of the people would be Rahab, a prostitute. Now, Rahab owned a whole brothel, and it was sitting on the city walls. But Rahab let them know the truth. She was like, look, I know I ain't an Israelite. I have not done everything right, but I want to help y'all, but I need y'all to help me. Just promise me that when you come, you won't hurt me and my family, because your reputation has already gone before you. And that's why these people are nervous. Your reputation has already gone before you, not just about you, but how your God takes care of you and how you have already conquered and overcome and been victorious over many things and many people. So just don't kill us. I'm going to help you, but just don't kill me and my family. Don't hurt me and my family. But when you come, I'm going to give you the information that you need. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, the people came knocking on Rahab's doors and she lied and told them, no, I ain't seen nobody. Mm-hmm. I ain't seen nobody. I don't know nothing. I ain't been nowhere. I ain't done nothing. It wasn't even me. I don't even know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because Rahab was looking out for the spies because she already knew that their God, the reputation of their God had gone before them. People of God, you need to know this. The God that you serve already has a reputation of being victorious. But if you would just hang with him while he sticks with you, mm-hmm. I want you to know that he will bring you out all right. Glory God. Mm-hmm. So now, Rahab hid the spies. They went right outside the window and she let them know, look, I'm going to give you the time and the space where you need to escape. But go back and let your people know. Y'all just don't hurt me and my family. Right. Not only did she do that, but she didn't tell a soul. Mm-hmm. She went right ahead on. And then sometime later, when they came back and they were ready to conquer the land, you already have heard the story about how Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho with the people of Israel. And so for several days, they marched around and God told them to be quiet. Don't say a word. Just march around the walls. And as they marched, the people had to be getting nervous because, as you know, when they start to see something different, people get nervous already. When they start to see change, they get nervous already. Everybody's not ready for change. But here they are, according to the will of God, according to the word of God that was already sent through Joshua, the man who was leading the people of God. They obeyed him because he was obeying God. Amen. They followed him as he was following God. It doesn't mean that Joshua knew everything, but it means that one thing Joshua did know. He understood the voice of God and he obeyed the voice of God. Amen. The people marched, and on the seventh day, hallelujah, Jesus, the Lord told them to shout because God had already given them the victory. I want you to know that the walls begin to fall down. Now, I don't know if you understand the concept of walls, but most walls don't fall just because you walk on them. You need to know how big these walls were. These walls were big enough for an army of thousands of Israelites to be able to march around on top, and nothing happened for 6 days. So we already know it was not because of weight, but it was because of obedience. See, when you come in to make change, it's not always because you're the heaviest person, you're the biggest person. It's not always because you got the most money. It's not always because you got a whole lot of power behind you, but it is because of the power of the God that you serve. When you just obey God, he makes everything all right. God told them on that last day to shout. And God gave them what it is that they came for. Now, your question might be, now, how did God use a prostitute? Well, not only did he use her then, but he used her later. We need to understand some things about this prostitute, because a lot of times we don't give people who have not been serving God credit. Like for me, one of my questions in my mind was, why was she a prostitute? Well, y'all know it's the oldest living business in the world. And she was not only making money for herself, but she provided a brothel, a household. She provided for other people. So yes, she might have been doing the wrong thing, but God still used her for the victory of the people of God. So the first thing that we got to know or learn from Rahab, we have to understand that her story is full of lessons, but everybody don't talk about the prostitute. You see, the church folks like to talk about Joshua. Mm-hmm. The church folks like to talk about the Israelites. Mm-hmm. The church folks always talk about God, and he is the most important. But what we've got to know about Rahab is, number one, she had courage. She had courage in the face of adversity. No, we're not saying it's right to tell a lie, but she was trying to protect the people of God. But she had courage against the people that she knew could kill her and her entire household. Rahab had courage. Number two, she believed in the promises of God. She wasn't even a believer. She wasn't living right, but she still believed that God kept his promises. Now, here it is, people on the outside. She's not even saved. She is not a believer in God, but she believed in his word. She believed in his truth. She believed in the victories that he had already caused to manifest and come forth. So she believed in God's promises, so much so that she told the people of God, I got you. When all of this works out, I got you. Just help me. Amen. Amen. The third thing is that she took a risk. She took a risk that she did not have to take because she wanted to see change. She wanted to see change. She knew that the people that she was dwelling with might not be right, and neither was she. But she wanted to see change, because if she didn't, she wouldn't have taken a risk for change. See, a lot of people don't know how to make change themselves, but they've got sense enough to know to support the people that are trying to make change. And in the process of that time, they learn that you can bless me and I can bless you. She took a risk for the change. Glory to God. Number four, you got to know your worth. She might have been a hooker, but she knew that what she had to offer was invaluable. And I'm not talking about her body. I'm talking about information. I'm talking about trust. I'm talking about the exchange that she made with the people of God. Mm-hmm. She knew her worth in this process because nobody else was trying to help them. Mm-hmm. Nobody else wanted them to come in and take over where they live. Mm-hmm. But they already were afraid because they already understood that the God of the Israelites was victorious. Mm-hmm. They already knew that he had taken out a bunch of other folks who tried to get in the way of the people of God. He already had moved some things and some people out of the way who were trying to mess with the people of God. So as long as we stay with God, then we know and we can trust and believe that he's going to move some things out of our way. It's going to look like a miracle because it is. It's going to look like mountains move because he will. It's going to look like it just happened out of nowhere because it will. Many of us have been waiting on some things to happen for a very long time. And that is the case with the Israelites. They understood the promises that were set before them, but it took a long time. Well, why? It didn't take a long time because God was confused. It took a long time because God let them dwell in the wilderness until they got some mess out of their systems, because they couldn't go into where they were getting ready to go to with the mess in their systems, in their minds, in their hearts, going back to idols every time things don't work out their way. They understood that they had done some things wrong. Mm-hmm. But thank God they knew that they could repent and go forth and get it right. So that's why they had to make a decision before they got ready to go into the promised land. Because once they got to the promised land, they couldn't go with no mess. Amen. The next thing, number five, that we learned from Rahab is to trust in the future that God has prepared for you. Jeremiah lets us know. Jeremiah 29:11 is one of my favorite scriptures. I know the plan that I have for you. It is one to prosper you. It is one that will give you an expected end. God knows the plan. We don't always know the plan, But we might know that there is an expected end. We might see our future and understand that it looks brighter, but the process is what messes some of us up. We don't understand why we have to go through some of the processes that we have to go through. But just like the Israelites, and so that we can get the mess out of our systems, so that we can get that stuff out of the way, so that when we get to where we're supposed to be, we know how to act. So that when we get to where we're supposed to be, we know how to handle finances. Mm-hmm. So that when we get to where we're supposed to be, we know how to help other people. So that when we get to where we're supposed to be, we know how to let some stuff go and forgive. That's why we have to go through the process. Mm-hmm. The process is not to hurt us, but it's to prepare us. The process is not to hurt us, but it's to get us ready. The process is not to hurt us, but it's to heal our hurting and wounded souls. Mm-hmm. The process makes us better. The process makes us stronger. The process purifies us. The process helps us. So that when we get to the other side, we can look back and say, oh, it was nobody but Jesus. We can look back and say, I know the Lord made a way. I don't know how we did it, but God made a way somehow. I don't know how I got healed in my mind. I don't know how I got healed in my body. I don't know how my wounded soul got healed, but I know that it was God. I don't know what all he did, and seems like now it's just a memory. I don't know what all he did. I can't even remember all that I went through now that I'm on the other side, but I need somebody to hear me today, and I need you to understand that it's only God that can move you from where you are now to the place where you need to be, so we can learn some lessons from the prostitute. Now, as a prostitute, Rahab would have been an outsider. And some of us today are outcast. Even as a preacher, there are some preachers that don't fool with me. Even as a minister of the gospel, there are some folks that don't fool with me because of my gender. Even as a minister of the gospel, there are some folks that don't fool with me because of where I'm from. And some of you are outcast because of where you're from. Some of you are outcast because you don't talk right. Some of you are outcast because you don't look right. Some of you are outcast because you don't look the part. You didn't come from a silver spoon. You didn't come from money. You didn't come from a Christian family. But you're here now. Although to some you might look like and feel like a misfit, sometimes you still feel like you're a misfit and you don't fit in with everybody else. I want you to know that I'm a country girl from Macon, Mississippi. I want you to know that I was born in a home without my natural father. I want you to know that I went through some trauma in my lifetime. I want you to know that I went through some trauma as an adult, as have some of you. But you need to understand that even as a misfit, you are accepted by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Oh, glory God. Some of us now are still dirty on the inside and the outside. Some of us understand that Rahab was a hot mess in her town too, but God still used her for his glory. Yes. The men would use Rahab, and the women would have despised and hated her. Look at Rahab. She ain't nothing. Look at Rahab. She a whole hooker. But while they're talking, what they don't realize that their men were the ones who were sleeping with Rahab, because Rahab couldn't have been in business if she didn't have any customers. Oh, glory to God. You see, they're looking at Rahab, but they're not looking at the men who were involved and messed with Rahab. But they talked about she was despised of many. She was used by many. And I'm sure that she was abused by many. She was hated by many, as are some of you. But her story reminds us that God has special care for those of us that are or have been messed up. God has special care for those that may be considered worthless to other people. God has special care for people just like you and I. And through Rahab, we learn that no one is worthless to God. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the church. And because of the negative things that happened to me, even the church folks, many of them turned against me. Oh, glory to God. So because of my pain, I was messed up and still in the church. Yahweh Hab wasn't even in the church. Some of you right now who are listening to the sound of my voice are in the church and you still jacked up. Not because of any fault of your own are you jacked up. But it will be your fault if you don't take the opportunity and you decide to stay jacked up rather than taking the hand up, rather than taking help up. Rahab knew how to get some help because she couldn't get her and her family out of their situation on her own. I was used and abused just like Rahab, and I was still in the church. Somebody under the sound of my voice right now is in the church, used, abused, messed up, talked about, lied on, mistreated. When they see you coming, they regret seeing your face. When they see you leaving, they're happy. I want you to know, God understands that you've been looked down on. And somebody here knows what I'm talking about. I can feel your pain. Even in all of my issues, I need you to know that God had a plan for Rahab's life. God had a plan for my life. God has a plan for your life. Just as he had for the children of Israel. Although Rahab was used, abused, hated, dirty, a misfit, and an outsider, God still had a plan. So as Joshua prepared to lead the Israelites into Canaan, as he had been chosen by God to do so, he also faced enemies. He faced enemies that were seen and enemies that were unseen. As have some of us. Some of us have people right now that smile in our faces, but they've never been for us. Some of us have people right now that smile in our faces, but they talk about us. They lie on us. Some of us have people right now that look at us and we're simply misunderstood by them because they don't understand the vision, the gifts, and all of the things that God has placed in your hand. They think you got money somewhere that's been hidden and you've been lying about, because every time you turn around, God just makes a way and nobody even understands how it's being done. So according to history, no one in the ancient Near East entered combat without the support of their gods. That's the little g gods. All wars were holy wars with the outcome that was decided by the god that they served, rather than being based on the humans that were fighting the actual war. So you see, learning how to fight and learning how to stand has nothing to do with your physical strength, but it's about the God that you serve. So you better know whom you're serving. So Joshua expected to receive instructions from the God of the Israelites. And God certainly did tell them how to conquer Jericho. But what he didn't anticipate was help from the hooker. So as we move forward with the plan of God for our lives, we don't always know who God is sending our way to help us. Rahab not only hid the spies, but she risked the life of her family as well as her own because she simply had heard about our God. She'd heard about how he delivered in the past. She'd heard about how he took care of his people. She'd heard about his provision and his protection. I know about it. Glory to God. So she might have been messed up, but she knew that she couldn't change that situation by herself. So why not trust in the God with 100% success rate? So Rahab let the spies know that the reputation of our God had Jericho nervous. So much so that the scripture says in chapter 6:1, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. They were shaking, y'all. No one went out and no one came in. See, that's the thing about barring yourself into a box. You can't get out, but you also can't let anybody else in. They were boxed in. They were barred in. They were closed in because of their fear. Fear will cause you to not be able to get out and not allow anybody else to come in. I'm helping somebody today. The second verse says, then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. You see, what you thought was bigger than you, what you thought that you couldn't withstand, I want you to know that God will deliver. Glory God. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to hear this today. Your enemies are nervous about your success. So much so that they can't even go about their daily lives because they know you are on the come up. They know our God is getting ready to bring you out. They can feel it even if you can't. They're nervous every time they see you walk into a room. Oh, glory God. You've got them nervous. They're watching your social media trying to see what you're doing next. They're looking over their shoulders hoping that you don't come up behind them. They're inquiring and they're asking questions about you to other people that you think you're close to. And the people don't even have any information because you've been quiet while you're marching. Huh? Oh, glory to God. They already know the reputation of how God takes care of his children. And they are shaking in their boots because they know what they tried to do to you in the past. And they don't know what to do next, but they're watching. They're listening. They're trying to get any manner of information that they can. So you got to be cautious to shut your mouth while you move. Glory God. Everybody don't need to know what you're doing. Glory to God. Be quiet while you're marching. Be quiet while you're preparing. Everybody doesn't need to know, but you've got to follow the leader. As long as the leader is following your God. Hallelujah, Lord. Just like the Israelites, the Lord is saying to you, I have delivered your enemy into your hands, but you've got to be quiet. It's already done in the heavenlies. But you got to trust God enough to know that it's going to manifest in the earth realm. Oh, glory God. That means that whatever you need, it's already done. If you just trust God and follow the path that he already has set for you. You've just got to carry out the mission according to God's plan, not your own. Because your plan ain't worth a hill of beans if you ain't following God. Your plan is worth nothing if it's not the plan that God has set forward for you. So you've got to do what it is that God told you to do. Mm-hmm. Although God's battle plan found in Joshua, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 27 might sound crazy to us. It followed ancient rituals. Mm-hmm. It was not something that just came up out of the blue. Because God follows his own word. And so therefore we have to speak the word and obey the word because God keeps his word. Amen. That's why it's important to know the word. So you can't come up with these plans that just pop into your mind unless it's the plan of God for your life. You've got to be sure that when you have a plan, the plan is in alignment with the word of God. That's why this plan worked. It was God's plan. It follows God's rituals from ancient history. And no, I'm not saying that we got to stay stuck in the Old Testament. Even when Jesus came on the scene in the earth realm in the book of Matthew in chapter 1, when he was born to a virgin and what seems like his stepfather was his earthly father. See, he had to be born into that family because his earthly father came from the lineage of David. Jesus is in the lineage of King David. And guess what? You're going to find out some things about Rahab too. Rahab was right where she needed to be, although she looked like a misfit. When Jesus came into the earth realm, he is the one who gave us an opportunity, even as a misfit, to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. Because he didn't see us as dirty. He died for us. He didn't see us as worthless. He died for us. If he gave up his life for us, certainly we cannot be worthless, but we've got to know our own worth in Jesus. So here it is. It was a 6-day siege with a 7th-day climax. God's presence was with his people. I want you to know that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. But his presence was symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant that they always took with them into war. I need you to know that no matter what this battle is that you're facing, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. But you got to keep God with you and you've got to keep God at the forefront. And you've got to stay in his word. The emphasis here is on the number 7. No, we're not into numerology, but to God, everything means something. All combined to create maximum panic in psychological warfare. You see, even psychological warfare has a place because it messed up the minds of the people just knowing that the people of God and the God that they served was with them. Were outside on those walls, marching around. It messed up their thinking.
Right.
See, people don't understand when you stick with the plan of God, even when things don't look right, when you stick with the plan of God, even when it seems like you're losing, when you stick with the plan of God that's on your life, you've already won. But it messes up the mind of your enemies because they don't understand why would you stick with God and your situation looks like this right now. See, the number 7 means completion. The Lord promised to secure their victory if the Israelites simply followed his plan. Mm-hmm. The plan was simple, but simple never means easy. Sometimes the simple things are the things that we just cannot understand. Mm-hmm. The Israelites' most dangerous enemy was never the walls that they could see, but the ones that they couldn't. Maybe it was the monotony of the repeated action of marching around with no visible results at that time, mm-hmm. or a desire to give orders rather than to follow orders.
Right.
Because why should we follow Joshua? He young. What does he know? Maybe it was hard for them to be quiet because sometimes when we're going through, it's so easy to complain. Sometimes when we're going through, it's so easy to mumble and grumble. Sometimes when we're going through, it's so easy to just say, "Ooh, I'm tired. I'm sick of this. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I don't know if I trust Joshua. We've been out here and we've been marching all this time and he talking about be quiet and I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know." It's hard to just be quiet when you're going through hell. That may have been the enemy of their mind. Although illness, unemployment, financial hardship, or damaged relationships may be our reality, they are not our real enemies. Despair, hopelessness, fear, a refusal to surrender to God's control can lead us down the wrong road. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps your opposition looks difficult. The strategy may seem absolutely ridiculous. Why did she go by a church in that neighborhood? Why did she go by a church where homeless people keep breaking up in there and setting it on fire? Why did she even go out there? It doesn't make any sense. She lives in Northeast Jackson. Why would she come way down here? It doesn't make sense. She's a woman. And we don't take kindly to women preachers in this area. Why did she come to Mississippi anyway? She was living in Nashville. She seemed to have everything that she needed. Why did she show up down here? Because it was the plan of God for my life. And when I obeyed him, he restored me. Glory God. To some of us, our progress may seem non-existent, but I want you to know that obeying God is a part of the process. That's going to get you to the progress. Before we can defeat our own issues, We've got to identify them and be honest with ourselves rather than let our issues define us. Then we've got to follow God's plan, because our obedience will unlock his power to accomplish his purpose in us. But we gotta obey. I came to prophesy to somebody right now that God said that you've been walking around like you're defeated. God said you've been holding your head down like it's over for you. God said you've been looking and feeling like nothing is gonna get better for you. But he said you need to hold your head up high and look to the hills from which cometh your help. All your help comes from the Lord. You need to dry up your tears. You need to stop worrying about your past and what the people think of you and what the people have said about you. You need to stop worrying about what you think you lost, because it's nothing compared to what you're going to gain. God said, stop making excuses and being down on yourself. He said, but just trust him and give him time. He said, trust him and obey, even when you don't understand. Because it's already done in the heavenlies. You just need it to be manifested in the earth realm. I came to tell somebody today that your healing is already done in Jesus' name. Your breakthrough is already done in Jesus' name. Your anointing is already here in Jesus' name. Your appointing is already here in Jesus' name. Your family is already saved in Jesus' name. The doors have already opened up for you in Jesus' name. You've already got the job. You just need to go over there and talk to the people. Oh, in Jesus' name. You've already got the scholarship in Jesus' name. You've already got the grant in Jesus' name. The provisions for you have already been made in Jesus' name. You've already got the building that you need in Jesus' name. Your apartment is already approved in Jesus' name. Your house is already approved in Jesus' name. Your mind is healed in Jesus' name. You've already got your back pay for everything that they owe you in Jesus' name. You've already been promoted in Jesus' name. You've already got your promises fulfilled in Jesus' name. Since God has determined to stand with us, the least that we can do is stand for him. Through Christ, we are already victorious, because Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. So the enemy is defeated in our hands. You've simply got to follow God's plan. And everything that he promised you, I can assure you that he will do. He is the only God with a 100% satisfaction rate. He is the only God who has never failed. He is the only God who knows all and sees all. He knows everything you need. He knows all about your tears. He knows all about you tossing and turning at night because you don't have the answers to your questions. He already knows. He already sees, and it's already fixed. You've just got to follow the plan. God bless you. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. I want to pray with you very quickly, and then we're going to be out of your way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now, God, for everyone who is under the sound of my voice. I give you glory, honor, and praise, God, because we understand, God, that we can trust you even when we can't trace you. We understand, God, that we may not have a plan and we don't know how it's going to get done, God, but we know you do. We understand, God, that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. And because you are still the end, God, we know that you're going to see us through until the very end. We know, God, that you're not going to leave us. We know, God, that you've never forsaken us. We know, God, that we can walk away from our past and come out with a clean slate because of you. We know, God, that we are worthy in you. We know, God, that we are loved in you. We know, God, that we have some enemies, God. enemies of our minds that we can't even see, God, but we recognize and we realize that they're there. So God, we surrender them to you right now. We can't do it by ourselves, God, but as we lift up holy hands in this place, we surrender to you, God. Our hands up is a sign and of surrender, God. It's a sign, God, that we've given it up. Our open hands, God, are a sign that they are open to whatever you have for us, God. And we receive it now in the name of Jesus. We repent, God, for everything that we've said and done that's not like you. Forgive us, God. Cleanse us, God. Remove everything from us, God, that is hindering us right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, you are bound. Jesus already defeated you. You are already a defeated foe. And the blood of Jesus covers everybody that's under the sound of my voice. The blood of Jesus covers everybody that's connected to this ministry. The blood of Jesus covers all of my children in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your blood covering. Because, God, we understand that nothing can come through your blood. We thank you, God, for your protection. We thank you, God, for your provision. We thank you, God, for a move of your we thank you, God. We thank you now, God. The victory belongs to us. The victory is ours in Jesus' name. The victory, God, is already yours, and you've given it to us, and it shall be manifested in the earth realm. It is so. It is so in the name of Jesus. God, now move us from this place into the plan that you have for our lives. Order our steps, God. Your word says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we know, God, that you've already ordered our steps. Help us to see, God, clearly what they are. Help us to see, God, who we are to you. God, we know if you can bless Rahab, you can bless us. Thank you, God, that Rahab ended up as an ancestor of Jesus. Even the hooker had a place, God. So we know that you've got a place for us. We give you glory now, God. We give you glory and honor now, God. All the glory and the honor be thine. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you now, God, for a fresh anointing. Thank you, God, for a move of your spirit. Thank you, God, for opening doors. Thank you, God, for dealing with our enemies. Thank you, God, for making a way where there seems to be no way. And we count it done, God, by faith. In the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord another hand of praise in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, as we receive this offering, we pray, God, that it will continue to be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom. So for those who have not had an opportunity to give of your tithes and your offering, we ask that you do so now. You already know that this is good ground. You already know the things that Campbell Ministries and Love Thy Neighbor and the Charity Church Complex are doing in the community. In the community, in the nation. Hallelujah, Jesus. You already know, God, what we're doing. So we pray now, God, that as your people give, that you give it back to them 100-fold. That doesn't mean just 100%, but 100 times what they gave, God. God, if they give 5, you give them back 500. If they give 10, God, you give them back 1,000. Your word says so. Your word says in the book of Malachi to try you and see, won't you open up a window in heaven and pour out blessings that we don't even have room enough to receive. We thank you now, God. We thank you, God, that the New Testament says, give it, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. We don't even have to know, God, how you're going to make it happen. But we know, God, that God's mathematics work every time. So right now, God, we thank you for the offering that we're getting ready to receive on behalf of this ministry. And we know, God, that it'll be used for your glory. Bless every giver, God. Bless those that did not have it to give. But we thank you, God, for a move of your spirit. Right now, in the name of Jesus, impress upon every person's heart, God, that's under the sound of this ministry, to give something, even if it's a dollar. Impress upon their hearts, God, to give so that they can understand how you gave your son for us. So they can understand reaping and sowing. You sowed your son into the earth and you brought back a family. Oh, glory, God. For everything that we give to you, God, you give back to us abundantly. And you've shown that to us, God, in your giving of your only beloved son, your only begotten son. You sold him into the earth. He gave his life. He was placed in the tomb. And when he came back up, because of your love for him and his interceding on behalf of us, you gained a family. We know, God, that at one point we were outcast and we were on the outside. But now, God, we understand that we belong to you and we are part of the family of Christ. Therefore, we are your beloved children. And that you would never make a promise that you could not keep. So we thank you now, God. We count it done by faith in Jesus' name. If you want to give to this ministry, you may give via Cash App. At $CampbellMen Inc. That's $CampbellMinInc. Campbell Men Inc. If you need to give via PayPal, it's at Campbell Ministries. I thank you in advance for your giving, and I look forward to hearing the testimonies that will soon come forth from every believer who is under the sound of my voice. Keep the word of God on your lips. Keep repeating the word of God, because God watches over his word to perform it. So if you speak his word, he'll perform his word. But if you speak doubt and fear, the enemy will take that and continue to multiply it in your head. That's what he does. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. So we're not giving him any glory. We're going to speak the word of God. We are loved. We are worthy. We are chosen. We are overcomers. We are victorious. In Jesus' name. Until next time, may God bless you and may God keep you is our prayer.